Praise the Lord. We believe what we have sung, and we remember what was preached yesterday. The same John who brought the message and who prepared the way for the Lord, he said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. The one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It is just the divine message that was preached from the very beginning. And whoever traces back the divine footprints, he can go to the prophet Joel and to the prophet Isaiah. And therein is already written, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. We have, because of the aberration in the Pentecostal movement, we got a certain fear for that what can happen supernaturally and has to happen. This fear we have to put off, and we have to count with that God can give true things by His grace, and He will give it. Was this said clear enough? If we can discern what was wrong and why it went wrong, then let us count with that God is able to make everything well. The sermon of the word, not of the brother, neither of the one nor the other who stand here in the front, but the sermon of the word has shown us yesterday the key. Before being anointed with the Spirit, there must be a new birth and renewing by the Spirit. If this is not the case, then the person is anointed in the second realm and performs mighty things, but remains inwardly dead what he was before. Yes, it is even possible that he gets worse than he was before, despite of the anointing of the Spirit, because then he feels very self-reliant, being higher than others, and he no longer has himself under control. The way of God was shown to us already in the sermon of Brother Branham that we translated here with the title, Ye Must Be Born Again. At least 2-3 times he said there, first comes the birth by the Spirit, and then the infilling with the Spirit. If anyone is born again, then he is a new creation. The old things have passed. Behold, all things have become new. Is this biblical? Can we experience this? Yes, we must experience it. Also this Brother Branham emphasized in this sermon. Not only you can, or you may, or if you like, you can be born again, but ye must be born again. Otherwise, you cannot see the kingdom of God. After the new birth, however, some things still have to be put off. And this is probably the point that some don't understand. Today, I will have to absolutely force myself to not again be eaten up by the seal of God and get into a speed and volume which is not good for my voice. I believe that it doesn't depend on me or on the speed or on the volume of the proclamation that can be heard acoustically, but it depends on that whether the Spirit of God is already in you as a receiver, whether the willingness, the readiness is already there to hear every word, to receive it, and to say yes to it. We will look at some things today with God's help, and I hope and believe that God is present, and in these meetings brings forth fruit for eternity. That in these meetings happens what never happened before, so deep, so thorough, so extensive, that can be to us and to many others a blessing. Many words of God are before me, are in my heart, and we will speak about it with the one aim to build up the Church of the Living God for the perfecting, for the work of the last ministry that is ahead of us. And should somebody be still of the opinion, God will only use one man for this, then it must be said to you, God will use His body, all members, He will use, all will be set in, everyone in His area and in His duty. You all know, God has sent individuals to bring the message, but the message was not for the individual, but addressed to the overall church. This we must know. God always spoke to the angel of the church. This we understood. But who was actually addressed as the last? The church, the overall church. And therefore, it is written at the beginning of every church age message, and unto the angel of the church write. At the end it says then, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. There it doesn't say what he has to say to the angel, but what he has to say unto the churches. We must, in these days, hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. We must respond to it. And as already said, every individual must expect that he receives what God promised. Also this point I want to mention, so that no spirit of idolatry has room in our midst. When at the very beginning the early church came together for prayer. They didn't pray for one, but for all servants. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Our beloved brother Joseph Baranowski, who just now returned from Zaire, he said, "Brother Frank, it will hurt you now, what I will tell you. But the people make out of you and Brother Branham a thing which is incomprehensible. And I will do everything possible to crush this to pieces. And if I will not succeed, then God will do it, so that the people are put to shame and that they only look to the Lord." The last what could happen to us would be that the people make something out of us. I know that the spirit of idolatry is not young. He is very old. But in our midst, he may not be. In our midst, the Spirit of God shall rule. You all know, at the time of the apostles, two things happened, one after the other. When great signs and wonders happened, the people cried out, "The gods have put on the shape of men," and they began to sacrifice to the apostles. And what did Paul do? He rent his clothes and he said, "We are just humans like you are." It stays that way. A divine call doesn't make a man more than a child of God, like everyone else. Only the responsibility is greater. Don't be angry with me when I make here such a remark very publicly. But the son of the prophet lets himself be addressed as Lord. The people come to him and say, "Good morning, Lord." If ever a man would be thrown out, then it would be that moment if somebody would try to do it in such a way toward me. Oh, I didn't say this in German. I always assume that every German speaks two or three languages, at least English. Yeah. The people really say, "Good morning, Lord," instead, "Sir," as it's fitting, when it is somebody unknown, or when it's not on a first name basis, or brother, as it would be fitting. No, the spirit of idolatry be banned in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, once for all. We are nothing more than dust and ashes. And Paul says, "To us apostles, the Lord has given the last place. We have become like dung." There are some things that must be said, for we are all waiting for that the Spirit of God falls. We have said in these days, the time is at hand. And we also said, the time is here. And the time is here now, that we pace to come to perfection. I read to it some words, but let us again stand up and pray. All pray and commit this service to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come into your holy presence, and we would like to experience a service, O Lord, as if you would sit here at my right side, and I would be aware of that you listen, that you are present, and that I have responsibility in your holy presence. Lord, may the same become aware to all of us, that we are not gathered before men, but in the presence of God, so that God can speak to us. We ask you, faithful Lord, give understanding, give revelation, give grace, that we are taken out of infancy. Take away every nonsense from us, everything what is not in conformity with a perfect knowledge of your word or with the revelation that you have given. Lord, make us one, one in you, one in your word, one in your spirit. Be the head and we the body. Beloved Lord, together we pray as at the beginning of the times of the apostles. Stretch forth thine arm. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, who take counsel against thee and your anointed one, and give strength to thy servants to speak thy word with boldness, and stretch forth thine arm, and let under the proclamation, through the spoken word, let great signs and wonders happen, so that no one says anymore, brother so-and-so laid hands on me, and then it happened that all would confess God sent his word and made us well. Lord, at the end is not a man in the center, but you as Lord, as the head of the church, exalted, glorified beyond measure. Lord, we ask you for your very special blessing and for the leading of thy Holy Spirit in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just come briefly back to the verses that were read already from Psalms 85. Verse 10, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. Who knows the Holy Scripture and knows that it is written, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God, a holy reverence, must return into the church. Reverence before God, reverence before his word, that not everybody thinks that he can handle the word of God as he thinks best, but that we all submit under the mighty hand of God and under his word and are ready to do his will. Verily, his salvation is nigh to them who fear him. One could say straight away, dear sister, dear brother, if you fear the Lord, the salvation of God is very nigh to you. And the Lord could say, today, to this house, or to this person, salvation has come. Verse 11, mercy and truth are met together. Also this belongs to it. Many want to have the mercy of God because they don't want to be lost. How is it with the faithfulness in all things towards God and his word? May from now on the pardoned ones be found faithful before God, faithful in all things. I remember here the word in Hebrews that it says of Moses, who was faithful in the house of God, and Christ as the Son being faithful in his house, and his house are we. God was looking for a habitation, and he said, has not mine hand created all this? And where is the place of my rest? Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And then we come to know that the church has become the dwelling place of God. As God was in Christ, so Christ is in the church. Dear heart, just count with it very personally. Don't always look to the front and say, we are waiting so longingly for it until God uses our brother. Is this the right attitude? This is not the right attitude. God used the brother already to pass on that what God has given us by his grace. Now all of us are addressed, and we are all meant, not only one. And this I say to you very clearly, if you only wait for that God blesses me or Brother Rus, some are generous, they can even count to two, and perhaps when it gets better, even to three, and then they are at their wits' end. It shouldn't be like that. We are a church, the church of the living God, a chosen people, a holy priesthood, kings of our God. He is our high priest. He is our king. We as a whole form his people. In the kingdom of God, there is no one-man system. God uses one, but then all are addressed, and then all are meant. Let us go on to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, a very important word that will speak to all of us. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. It even goes on. You can see on what Paul, who wrote 100% the letter to the Hebrews, this can be seen very clear from the last part in the last chapter. Paul was that man whom God could use to put the gifts in order, to put everything doctrinally in the church upon the place where it belongs. He was set by God for it. Here we are told, therefore, leaving now the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And yesterday we found out that we have come too short with the first principles, with the doctrine of repentance, of conversion, about baptism. We have come too short of it. Brother Rus knows it, and he can testify of it. We spoke a few times with one another, also about the condition of the church. And both of us, we marveled, what's the reason? And then I said, literally, if only I had preached, or only you would have preached, or only both of us, then we would now both fully blame ourselves that the condition is still so as it is. And then I added and said, but we have translated the sermons of the man of God, the sermons of the prophet, of the greatest prophet since the days of Jesus Christ and of John the Baptist. We printed them. They have been sent. I said, if we now blame the two of us, then we must also go to him and blame him also. Why it has not become different yet? Why we are still in this, I call it by name now, why we are still in this lamentable situation? But in this condition we cannot remain. We feel that this is not the final condition, not the thing wanted by God. And because we feel this, I believe I may say already the awareness that we are not yet what God wants to make out of us. This is already the first step to get better. This is not just a saying. It is like this. If somebody, like it is said in the Laodicean church age, if one says, I am rich, I have need of nothing, and so forth, then things would be bad for us. Then the Lord would have to say to us, you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and naked. And then comes, and don't even know it. Brother Branham said, right in this connection, it is already bad when a person is naked, but if he then don't even realize it, if his senses are stunned and doesn't even know in which condition he is, then he is not only naked, then also somewhere else is something not right. But God has given us the grace that we may look into the mirror of the Word, and we confess that also therein God is right. This is our actual condition. Can we all say amen to it? But this is, as we said, it's not the last condition. This is not the end. After this, the Lord says, I counsel thee that you buy gold of me that is tried in the fire. Maybe I should read it, that we have it precise. It's always the best to not only recite the Holy Scripture out of memory, but to read it. Revelation 3, verse 18. The other thing I don't want to repeat, for this is known to us out of experience, not only after the text. In verse 18 it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalf, that thou mayest see. How faithful is God! And right in the last church age message, he introduces himself to us in this way. Perhaps I should read it from verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. The Amen. 2 Corinthians 1, 16-17. All promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, Amen. He is yes and Amen. That's how he introduces himself in the last church age. These things saith the Amen. What does Amen mean? So it is, so be it. As he says it, so it is. And we say Amen to it, because we agree to it. These things saith the Amen. And listen what comes now. The faithful and true witness. There were many witnesses. You can read it in Hebrews. There it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You can read in Isaiah 43. There the Lord says, ye are my witnesses, and I am your God. You can read Acts chapter 1. Ye shall be my witnesses. But here, the Lord himself is the witness. Here he doesn't call the prophets and the apostles. Here he walks amidst the seven golden lampstands. Here speaks he and says to the church what he has to tell her before he lets down the hammer of rebuke. He introduces himself to the church and says, thus saith he, who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. We are again at the subject, the beginning of the creation of God. God made a new beginning in Christ. He is the firstborn among many brethren, begotten by the Spirit. Also this we say it clearly, as it began with Christ, the firstborn. So it will have to be with all the firstborn. How did the Word become flesh? The Word of promise was brought to Mary, and she said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me as you have said. That's how the Word became flesh. In these days, the Word of promise comes to us. For what purpose? So that the sons of God are born, that they can be manifested. Many, yes, too many, speak of it with great enthusiasm. Oh, we have been manifested as the sons of God. A sad sight, a shame for God, bicker and quarrel, splits, malice of every kind. And then sons of God? No, and again no. If, then after the image of Jesus Christ, for thus it is written, I rather read it to you, so that you know that it is written. I am not prepared for this now, but it is written in the Word of God. I have to read briefly from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49, maybe 48 and 49. You can read more verses if you like. As is the earthy, that means Adam, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. This is God's holy word. And it is written, one cannot draw from the same fountain sweet and bitter water. What foams out of the people's hearts? And also here, nobody needs to deceive himself. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then James writes, whoever does not bridle his tongue, his religion is in vain. And everyone thinks he can say what he likes and he gets through with it. It doesn't work like this. No, God wants reverence. He wants to lay the fear of God into the people, into the church. Without the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, nothing will happen. Nothing will take place. Then it continues here in verse 15 in Revelation 3. Perhaps we should read it to affirm also this with a yes and with an amen. When we say yes to the second condition, then we must also have realized the first and also said yes to it. Here the Lord says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Now tell me very honestly, is this not our condition? We are not ice cold, this nobody could say to us. But are we glowing hot? Are we glowing hot? Most certainly not. Let us be honest. We are not. What are we then? Is God's word again right? And now I ask very knowingly, Do we all recognize that this is our condition? Here we have it. Here we have it. This is our condition. And marvel not that God, at the beginning of this year, starts with us like this. Do you think that I read this word today already? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. How do we come to it now? By the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord wants to do something. His time has come. He said once when they called him, "Your time is always, but my hour has not yet come." Our time was always, but now is the time of God, the hour of God. May He arise and do something, something lofty that is beyond any doubt, that no one would have to ask anymore, did God do that? That the people would know that He has done it. When and how and where will it happen? It will happen at the hour of God. At His appointed time it will happen. But through the church, which is His body. And therefore, this preparation, just to say yes, so it is, as the condition is described here. Do you think it is easy for me to say this? No. But I confess very open and freely, this is my condition, as it is described here. And I say it to the last one, who wants to probably whitewash or skip it a little. This is also your condition. We are in a lukewarm condition. One question. When we know that the coming of the Lord is right at the door, and that we received the last divine message as a warning, as an admonition for the calling out, how many people did you bring this message to? Was it a matter close to your heart to warn the people, to tell them, we are living now in this and that time, this and that God has done, here is a sermon, read it, and if you want to know more, then ask for it, or let me know. Who has done what? How was it with the first Christians? It says, when there was the persecution in Jerusalem, the believers were scattered all over. And do you know what it says there? And they preached the kingdom of God. And that's how it spread. What did we do with that, what God entrusted us with? We certainly spoke about the end time, about some kind of things, the catastrophes, the earthquakes, and all what goes with it. Probably also about the collapse of the world currency and some other things. But have we said to the people who are nigh to us, with whom we are in connection with, did we say to them in love, tactfully, did we tell them, listen, I owe it to you. I have to tell you. It's my duty. For what does God say in Ezekiel 33? When I speak to you, and you shall warn the wicked, and you don't do it, then the wicked shall die in his sin, but his soul I will require from you. Now someone may say, the people don't listen anyway. Right, the prophet Ezekiel was it, to whom the Lord said, whether they hear you or not, but they shall know that a prophet was in their midst. But not that you go now and say, oh, the prophet, this is also not the right method, this belongs to it. But you must place the matter, in this case, your testimony, you must place it upon the biblical foundation. And then, of course, also say plainly and say, God had a man who had a special call and who revealed the promises and all the mysteries that were hidden. This also belongs to it. But one has to have an introduction. How many wish to be once used by God, really to be used of Him, to give a testimony so that the people are fed up forever? This we know how it works. We molest the people in a way that they are fed up forever. If only it could happen now, that God could make people out of us, whom He blesses, who are even spoken to by others, and would be asked what it is really about with you. I know a man, and a brother sits here, who also knows him well. And he said to someone, I spoke to Mr. Frank already sometimes, but I don't understand why he didn't invite me yet to a service. And I know already that God got already hold of him. God got hold of him already. But I just wait a little bit more. The people expect it. They expect it, that one says it to them. But now comes the question. Also of this, we don't make it a secret. What do the people come to see in our midst if they would come today, if they would accept the invitation? What would they see today? Would they find the kingdom of God here? What would they find here? This is the serious question. Thanks be to God that they didn't come yet. Amen. Yes, the brother here scratches his head. Yes, and then he says, this is true. Yes, be honest. Let us be thankful that the masses didn't come yet. Otherwise, they would have left again. They would have left again. They would have said, and this also this man said, by the way, he has much to do with believers. Of course, not here, but somewhere else. We never speak of people who are around us here. This is somewhere else, in a totally different country. And he told me in the last conversation, Mr. Frank, please don't be angry with me, but I was forced to deal with a number of believers. And partly I met people who you know, and who you appreciate, and who are looked after by you. And then came the hammer. And then he says, but so much bicker and quarrel, so much slander, so much hatefulness I have never seen in my life. Now you have it. A man stays overnight with believers. And they talk to him, you must believe the message. God has sent a prophet, don't you know it? You are acquainted with Mr. Frank. Yes, he says, I'm acquainted with him. I don't want to say more here. I want to spare it to me and to you. lucky that it doesn't apply to anyone who is here or could be here. But it could happen to us that we go out and do like this woman did after this sharp sermon of Brother Branham. She grabbed him at the entrance, not at the main entrance, because he didn't want to be among the people, or could be. And she said, Brother Branham, in your sermon, you really rebuked everyone, but I was not addressed. And then the same Brother Branham says, some young preacher came to him and said, this woman is the greatest chatterbox of the whole city. She caused nothing but havoc with her tongue, but says, you rebuked all, but I was not affected. Beloved, let us belong to them who are still affected, who are still addressed. Only then God can really help us. How many of you believe that God will still take care for, that others get to hear what He has to say to this generation? Oh yes. Oh yes, God will take care for it. Now we have to create the atmosphere for it. Also about this, Brother Branham spoke. He said, when eggs are hatched, then it's the warmth, the atmosphere, which takes care for, that then life comes forth. There are also nests with rotten eggs. There must be warmness so that new life comes forth. Do we have this nest warmness here? Would the people find it if they would come? Would there be a shining face with sincerity and honesty here, filled with the love of God, that one could sincerely say, I'm so happy to see you again? And if one would say, Brother, I love you, that this would really be so. That it's not just words which we make, that our deed and our whole life would stand behind it. And there John says in his letter that we are obligated to give our lives for one another, to love one another as the Lord loved us, who gave His life for us. We have come short in some things, probably in all things. And just imagine, as far as I know, we have all, or most of us, we counted with the rapture and expected it. Yes, in what condition we counted with it. Let us thank God that the Lord didn't come yet. Do you agree? I don't hear it of all. Maybe I'm deaf on one ear, but it doesn't matter. Let us thank the Lord that He didn't come yet. Otherwise, there would be a great cry here. Otherwise, there would be a great crying here. Let us thank the Lord for His grace. You cannot know how I feel. I expressed it many times, that I not only want to have preached, I wish that all who hear the word which God revealed for this time, who hear it and believe it, that they are sealed after they have heard the word of truth. Also this we must all know. I read it to you. People can be baptized in the Spirit right away, but the sealing happens after we have heard the word of truth and received it. I read it to you from Ephesians chapter 1. Here it is written in verse 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Here it's not written of anointing. Here it's written of a seal. Do you think here on the sermon of Brother Branham, especially the sermon Desperation and the Token, there he gives the example of the rail wagon that is loaded, and then comes the inspector and shakes a bit on it and everything falls apart. And then he says, not like this, so I cannot put the seal on. I cannot put the seal here. Everything must be packed and loaded properly. The time is here to put things in order so that the seal of God can come down on us. We clearly understood that the anointing comes upon all. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. The sun shines upon the wicked and upon the good. The anointing with the Spirit doesn't say anything in itself. Nothing. There is, after the estimate, I said it here before, at the west coast of America, in particular in California, in the region of Los Angeles and Santa Barbara and up to San Francisco, there are millions, and I don't know whether 10 millions are enough, people of the full gospel, Pentecostals, who all received the Spirit, who were all anointed with the Spirit. And nobody shall tell me that this is a false spirit. No, this is the Holy Spirit. Not the Spirit is false. The people are false, because they received not the divine seed in them. And you also know here what Brother Branham has said, when the one lady with the high heels just said to the others, you don't have to listen to that fool. I will prove to you that just as I am, I can walk the way with the Lord. And she walked. And then, she fell into the abyss with a loud cry. How many are anointed with the Holy Spirit? And just now, when I was in Africa, I read the statutes of the Christian businessmen. And the first, and Mirabile Dictu, it's the belief in the Holy Trinity. Incomprehensible. That man who witnessed even Charles Price in his last years, and that man who met William Branham in the first days of his ministry, and who has witnessed so many things like no other, that man whose sister's name was Nightingale, and Brother Branham saw at 2 o'clock she will die, and he called Demas and said, I must tell you something. Men who have seen and heard everything. And then it says there, whoever does not accept this cannot become a member. This was at least the good sentence in that thing. I wouldn't know why I should be a member of that. A member on the body of Christ is enough for me. Members, yes. Club members, no. Why do I say this? Everywhere, mighty things. Oh, the Spirit leads, and what have you? I think on that man who laid hands on Cardinal Bea in the Vatican so that he may receive the Holy Spirit. And when he shook him a bit, the guards came and delivered him because they thought that these two brothers hijacked him. And in the true sense of the word, they hijacked him. Today, everything is so mixed. The sons of God took the daughters of men. And there are some who hear of the days of Noah. And they say, days of Noah, eating, drinking. Eating and drinking, we all do. This is not new. And marry and not marry, this we also do. This is nothing new. Or was it only back then? What? Pardon? What's going on here? It is written. They married, they were given in marriage, they were eating and drinking. Did you not marry? Did you not eat or drink? Did not all do the same, believers and unbelievers? What was the point when the sons of God saw the beauty of the daughters of men, and when the lineage of God through Seth, from which Christ should be born according to the flesh, from the seed of David, when it mixed with the lineage of Cain, then God said, the end of all flesh has come before me. And right at that time, God sent a prophet. And he gave the message. And what was it? The sons of God participated in it and turned their back to the prophet of God. And do you know what? This the Spirit of God also revealed to us. When the Lord Jesus died and his body was laid into the tomb, he went down and preached unto the spirits in prison. And I'm asking you, to which generation did he really preach? Pardon? Aha. And this I read to you now, so that you know what a judgment upon the sons of God who turned their back to the prophet and to the divine message and who laughed at him. They will have to answer a question like no other generation since the days of Jesus Christ our Lord. I read it to you so that you know that it is written. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now listen. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. You will see, we have the same picture before our eyes. Churches who shunned the World Council of Churches and Rome as if there was no tomorrow. They all bow down now. All seek recognition. They all want to participate. And the whole movement of the full gospel departed from the Word, and all have become organizations and denominations. All are uniting and make one thing instead of walking with a prophetic message. As it was then, in the days of Noah, there was a mixing of these two separated lines, of which the Lord God said, at the very spot in the Garden of Eden, I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed, and so forth. You all know it. And Paul lines it out in Romans 9, that Christ after the flesh had to come after the seed of David. Back then, the divinely blessed lineage acted worldly. It would be the same as if today believing brothers would take unbelievers and would marry them and say, what is faith all about, and so forth. And we would stand here before empty seats. Make no mistake, God is not mocked. There will be a day of judgment. And you can read more. You can even read that they were called angels who are bound in chains and wait for the day of judgment. The demons are not bound, and the devil is also not bound yet. He is still loose. We have all experienced that enough. There is a doctrine in a denomination. They say that we are already in the millennium and that the devil is bound. And one brother said, my God, he said, then I don't want to be here when he is loosened. No, the devil is not bound. And the fallen angels, the demons, rule in the air. And our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in the air. But from those days, and here on the day of judgment, you can take me at my word, for I read from the word of God. Here it doesn't say from the days of Gideon, or from the days of Samson, or from any other time, but to them who in the days of Noah, when the long suffering of God waited, and this man was let down for the mockery of all who were there. The Lord God took care for it and has given the first announcement when he went down that time. What will be with this generation? You see already that we touch upon some things and that we come from one to the other. Let us come back to Hebrews chapter 6 to then slowly come to the close. But let us take the warning seriously. When God sends a prophet, then he sends him because he wants to speak with us and that he wants to reveal his plan, not that we defy it and do as if nothing happened. Here we are required that we leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and so forth, that we leave it and come to full maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance and conversion and turning away from dead works and so forth and baptisms, but that we, as Paul says it in Ephesians 4, that we come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Today we have realized that we do best before God when we are honest. We noticed that here yesterday, and we agreed with God in the sentence that he made over us. We cry out, and we don't just recite Paul But with a deep cry in our soul, we cry out, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Because we recognized that in us is nothing good. Let us continue and confess what is written in the next verse. Thanks be to God who has accomplished it through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we read on. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, believe me. In 1 Corinthians 10 it is written that those things that happened with Israel happened for our example. And you all know what took place there. In any case, they actually wandered around 40 years. They made exactly 40 stations. You can read it. But the destination they did not reach. Then another time, another epoch set in. And then it no longer went from one place in the desert to the other. And then it said, be strong and of good courage. For as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Tell the people, in 3 days we will cross the river Jordan. There were two things among the people of Israel. The one was the leading out, the supply during all the time. Even though the people were disobedient, God had to stand to them because of the other nations. And Moses, over and again, he stepped into the breach and he said, blot out my name from your book, but leave the people so that the surrounding nations don't say that you didn't succeed. You all know the Holy Scripture. But then came the moment where the going in circles had an end. The moment where the Word of God that laid in the Ark of the Covenant and rested upon the shoulders of the Levites with a promise to conquer Canaan. I think this is the point at which we arrived now. Can you believe it? This is the point at which we arrived now. A year of jubilee. Everyone shall return to his rightful divine possession. And about this, we could still say much. We have this afternoon another meeting. And tonight is the Lord's Supper. Before that, a water baptism will take place because people are here who want to be baptized. Those who want to obey what was preached yesterday. And also about this, I was glad that nobody thought that it was too serious. But everyone with whom I spoke, he said, Brother Frank, it was the truth. It was the truth, so it is. And that's how we endured and accepted it. It were blows, but they did us good. Shall I take you again to Hebrews? Better not. There the man of God writes to us, but if we would be without chastisement, then we would be, I'm sorry, but he has written the word bastards, fake children. But because we received chastisement, we are genuine children. And whom the Heavenly Father loves, him he chastises. Why? To make an obedient child of God out of him. Oh, how I wished that my two sons would be men of God. Amen. Do you all want to pray for it, that God makes it? How I wish that my whole house would be saved, that no one is missing on the day of the Lord. Sometimes I had to chastise. And strange as it is, my youngest was always here. Right now I don't see him. But sometimes he said, "Dear Daddy, I still remember when I got beaten up." And then I said, "My son, do you also remember the many times when I let some things go through and didn't impute them?" And then it was good again. Yes, our Heavenly Father is a faithful God. Just imagine, He would let us run, and it wouldn't bother Him how we are before Him. What a father would that be? No, our God is a faithful Father over everything what is called children. And I tell you, now the time is here where all true children of God endure and accept the chastisement of the Lord and say, "Lord, even more, it feels good. I need it. Lord, prune, chastise, correct, for I want to stand my ground before you." God will take care for it. Let us summarize it. Everything what the Lord says is right. But now we are tired of our lukewarm condition. Who is tired of this condition in which we are now in? Who just says, "Lord, it's too much"? Who can say, "It can't go on like this. It serves no purpose. It can't go on like this"? Who can say this? There we have it. There we have it. And as I know God and His Word, He says, those who are sincere, they will prosper. And I can say to you, upon the authority of the Word, He will not leave us in this condition. He will put us on higher ground, upon the victory ground of Calvary, and He will make all enemies to become His footstool. Not we will be afraid of the enemy. He will have to flee from us. Because the contract is still valid that David made with Goliath after the will of God. If you defeat me, then my people are subject to you. And if I defeat you, then your people are subject to me. You all know the story. The battle, the dispute took place with the Son of David, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer. You don't have to deal with the enemy anymore. Don't start a conversation with him, for this would be nonsense. If need be, then just say, "Satan, get thee behind me." But please, don't add a second sentence. Don't get into a conversation with the devil. For so much we all know, he has too much experience for us to be able to keep up. He will entangle you in no time, and then you are done. So, the Lord, the Son of David, dealt with Satan and defeated him. Who has to be subject to whom now? Why did the Lord say, "I give you power over all the power of Satan. You shall tread upon serpents and scorpions, and it will not harm you"? The Lord has not given Satan power over us. He has given us the power over Satan. And we confess, Jesus is the victor. The head of the serpent is crushed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Probably the Lord arose. He probably arose. I know that these meetings are in the will of God, if they ever were in the will of God. And I know that God has driven us so into a corner that from the first to the last, that nobody can appear anymore with his nose up and look down on others with despisement. Everyone knows himself and says with Peter, Lord, I am unworthy. You all know the Gospels. Thanks be to our God. He has with us intentions and ways of love and peace, and He will bring everything to pass in a wonderful way. He is the Amen. He is the realization of all what He promised. He is Alpha and Omega, the author and finisher. Nothing slips out of His hands. With Him, everything is at the right time, and it happens according to His will. He is the faithful and true witness and our advocate. On top of it, He, the beginning of the creation of God, and we may be a part of this divine creation by begetting, born again and renewed by the Holy Spirit because of the seed of the Word that was laid into us. Believe it. We have been justified. We don't stay in that condition in which we are. We confess that God has already taken us out from this condition, that He already equipped us with a power from on high, and we thank Him as we would have already received it, because we know that His word does not lie and His promises are not void. What He says or promises, this He keeps. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but His word remains forever. And His word is in us as the divine seed. And so we abide with Him and His word forever. Why? Because we received eternal life by grace. Blessed be His name. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You with all our heart. We are overwhelmed of Your grace, of Your love. You still speak with us as a father speaks with his children whom he loves. O God, bless us all. Bless also those who could not be here today. Faithful Lord, we are gathered here in Your presence to lay our will into Your will and to say with all our hearts and to mean it, not my, but Thy will be done. And now I ask You, let me know Thy will. Let me know Thy ways. Let me know Thy plan, O Lord. Lead us and guide us on the right way. For Your name's sake, Lord, we recognized our condition. Miserable, lukewarm, sluggish are we, Lord. But we come to You, and You say, I counsel Thee. Yes, You are Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You are not only Counselor, You are the Mighty God to put this counsel into the deed. Faithful Lord, here we are in your presence. Do with us as you like. I commit with the sincerity of my heart, my personal life, my spiritual life, and the church of the living God, the blood-bought multitude, I commit it to your grace. Lord, have thine own way with all of us, so that we could really pray with all our hearts. Thy name be hallowed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, as it is written, give to thy people a willing spirit, take away all rebellion, every inner resistance, that we put everything in order with one another, that your peace and your mercy kiss each other, embracing each other, that mercy and salvation and blessing is among your people. And as Solomon prayed, that no miscarriage is in the country, no division among your people, but that you could be in the midst of thy people. Lord, let us leave now the beginnings and let us come to maturity, unto perfection. Take us by our hand and lead us according to thy word. Let your word be the light on our way. Lord, every word that you reveal unto us by your Spirit becomes a light. It shines in a dark place. Lord, it has become light at evening time. Lord, now the time has come to no more walk in circles and to be fed by you. No, back then you were not happy with your people. You said they always go astray with their heart. My God, bodily, we came out from all Babylonian things. In the heart, we brought some things with us. Lord, purge us, sanctify us, through and through, make us one heart and one soul with you. Lord, Almighty God, Almighty God, even though not the pillar of fire is here, but the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory, and worship be unto your holy name. On the day of salvation, you helped us. This is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time, the year of Jubilee of the Lord our God. Broke forth. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory be unto your wonderful and holy name. Lord, I feel like Brother Branham said it of the colored woman whose son was lying on the deathbed after he prayed for him. He said the first words, "There is light in this room." Hallelujah. There is light in this room. Hallelujah. Light in our hearts. Light in our lives. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
praise, honor, and glory be unto your wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah.